Welcome to Music A to Z Podcast. This is Steve Ferguson.
This is Doug Ferguson.
How are you doing, Doug?
I guess for the sake of the podcast, I'm doing great.
Right on. My commiserations on your microphone.
I don't think it's the mic. I've been trying it out. So yeah, as you may have heard, the Jamiroquai episode was not the audio quality as typical. It just sounded bad. It didn't sound quite as bad as the Gorillaz episode.
No, it didn't. It was better.
But
we've recorded successfully on that mic before.
I don't understand it. It's driving me absolutely crazy.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the microphone, because I tested that out on the Mac.
Yeah.
And it sounded fine. So it's got to be my USB ports.
All of them.
But the thing is, that doesn't make any sense to me either.
Yeah.
Because the USB ports, like, there's one I never use that I plugged it into, and it's the exact same problem. There's like a compatibility issue with the mic and the laptop. And I don't know why. It doesn't make any sense to me. Because, I mean, my laptop is more up-to-date than Nate's laptop.
Yes, it is, definitely.
And it's the exact same microphone that Nate's using right now. It's I don't get it.
It's very frustrating, because we're trying to present something that has a very high, high quality. And we're trying to present ourselves in a professional manner. And, to that point, here you have bought, your own money, this really, really lovely and professional microphone here. But
you know what I'm also considering doing?
What's that?
The thing is, like, I'm thinking of recording on the Mac. But the downside of that is, A, the Mac, I mean, it should have enough room. It should. I guess my main issue is that there's no program on there I can find that is good for this kind of thing. And installing programs on it, because our stepdad, who the Mac is at his place, and he's super protective over
everything
that gets installed on computers. He's just very controlling, but about computers specifically.
Yeah.
It's just like, why would you want to install that? Well, I could give reasons. He's like, no. It's like, why?
So needless to say, we're working right now with a setup that works, but
yeah.
It can make getting together a little difficult. But you know what? I think that we have such a good time doing this, and we've had such good response that I think it's worth it. So I do also want to say thank you to the subscribers, and thank you to people who listen to the problem.
Thank you for
for putting up with us.
For bearing with us while we're sorting out some of the technical issues. I know that it shouldn't be that hard to get some good quality sounding podcast. But I've listened to some other podcasts. I've been listening to more podcasts lately.
Yeah.
And our audio quality, at least if it's like this.
Yeah.
It's typically very good.
I think so actually. Yeah, I think Snowball mic, I guess.
Yeah, the Snowball Blue.
Yeah. I'm pretty happy with it. Let's get right into the thick of things.
Yeah.
I think we haven't had any feedback lately. I feel kind of silly now, because we had a bunch of feedback. I read it all in one episode, because I thought it would keep coming. So hey, folks, right now, if you have any feedback on any of our episodes or any recommendations for bands you would like us to cover, please let us know. Drop us a line.
Yeah, we already have. Obviously, we have K picked out. We decided on an L band, but we're still open to the remaining letters of the alphabet, except Q has been called by somebody else, but apart from that,
we're still open.
So
please, go for it. And I try to be in touch with everybody who's in touch with us. Yeah, but apart from that, I want to quickly go into some music news. I am so thrilled that the Polaris Music Prize has announced their shortlist. If you listen to this at all, you know that I'm not a big fan of the Grammys. I'm not a big fan of the Junos.
There's an understatement.
Yeah, but the Polaris Music Prize is a celebration of Canadian music, and they have a stringent set of criteria on who qualifies, and they have a cash prize for the winner, and they announce when did they announce their long list?
Should you tell me?
June 19th. Of 40 albums that it came out within the last year. They've narrowed it down now to their shortlist, the 10 albums. I will read them out to you now. Arcade Fire's Reflector, Bazia Bulat's Tall Tall Shadow, Mac DeMarco's Salad Days, Drake's Nothing Was the Same, Jesse Lanza's Pull My Hair Back, Owen Pallett's In Conflict.
Wait, Owen Pallett had an album?
Yeah.
I didn't even know that.
The dude's busy. He's such a busy guy.
I know, but he's usually not busy, so busy he's not releasing albums. Now I have to listen to this, because I loved this one before that, Heartland.
Yeah, Heartland was good.
I feel like I betrayed him.
No, give it time. Shad's...
forgive me, Owen. I'm so sorry.
Sorry, Owen.
I really wanted to listen. To, I was so, actually, I was listening to his other album, Heartland. And I was like, man, I can't wait till he puts out something else.
Shad's Flying Colors, Tanya Tagak's Animism, Timber Timber's Hot Dreams, and Yamantaka Sonic Titans' Uzu. So if you're saying, Steve, I don't recognize any of those artists or any of those bands. First off, there's at least a couple in there you should. Secondly, let me give a recommendation now for you to at least explore these albums. I was a little skeptical about having Drake on there, but you know what? Why not give a listen? It does. The Polaris Music Prize has such a good reputation that it legitimately makes me think. I'm kind of curious to hear this album.
There's more to Drake than.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe this is a good. You know.
They could just be like. Maybe they like need one commercially.
That's never really been an issue with them in the past,
okay,
though.
All right, Drake, we'll give you the benefit of the doubt for today.
I will say that it is sad that not making the short list, Ostra's new album didn't make it, and neither did Chad Van Galen. They were on the long list, they did not make the short list. Alas. I'm a big fan of both. Well, that's what I've got for music news. Do you have anything?
Well, let's see, last time I talked about those Depp albums that came in, yeah. I listened to, and I lent it to you as well,
yep.
There's these jazz collections, new jazz collections called Saint Germain des Prés Café.
Yes.
And I finally listened to number 15, because I've been following them since number 6, and then
it's
I went
back
to
it's been about part of a decade that we've heard of them, yeah.
And it's usually a really good collection. This one was really different. Like, it was very not jazzy.
I did not classify it as jazz at all. I classified it as electronica.
Yeah, it was basically
good.
I mean, it was pretty decent stuff. Yeah, but I mean, I kind of like that being my like yearly jazz fix, and I didn't get that jazz fix.
They did compensate by having it be a 2-disc set and Thievery Corporation being the ones in charge of mixing the second one, which I found to be an interesting, addition. Yeah. But I hear you. I was listening. I was a little disappointed that it wasn't jazz or new jazz or acid jazz or any jazz iteration. It was really just kind of an electronica groove.
And it was pretty groovy. No denying that.
Mm.
But it was no jazz.
So let's move on to our episode proper.
Sure. Yeah. Today.
Yeah.
Letter K.
Are we going to be covering Krispy Kreme?
No, because neither Krispy nor Kreme starts with K unless it's Krispy Kreme.
The donuts, yeah.
Yeah, we're not doing that.
Oh.
We're going to be reviewing Captain Kangaroo.
Yeah!
did Captain Kangaroo start with a K, with the captain?
I don't remember.
Yeah, who knows. Okay, no, but for realsies, guys, we are doing an episode on Kongos. Is that how you say it? Congos?
Congos, as far as I know, yeah.
Or is it Congos? Like almost like bongos, but Congos.
Let's say Congos. That
Congos?
Sounds, yeah. That sounds right.
Sure. You know what? Like this is something I'm going to have a problem with. There's certain groups where I think I sing it right, and I've been saying it wrong.
Oh.
Like M83, I'm pretty sure I've been saying... I've been saying M83 for years.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure now it's M83.
Oh.
But not 100% sure. But we're going to say Congos.
Sure.
Hey, guys. I don't know if you're going to... They might hear this.
I think they will.
I think they will. So, yeah.
Before we get into things, I think we need to take a little step back in the way back machine, Doug. Let's travel back through time. Let's go to the early 1960s. There is a band called Johnny and the G-Men.
Wow.
fronted by in South Africa, fronted by a man named John Congos, and they do moderately well. You know, it's just kind of making a bit of a splash, having a bit of success. But he decides to go solo, John Congos, and releases a string of albums. And the major one that I want to move on to is He's Gonna Step on You Again, which came out May 1971. It was a top 10 hit.
Have you heard it?
Not only have I heard it, Doug, it's currently playing in the background right now.
Yeah.
Pretty groovy.
Oh, a little dated. I didn't hear that. But now I do, now obviously. You do.
Obviously. It's, he had actually a couple of other hits during that time, too, including Tokoloshi Man, whatever. But He's Gonna Step on You Right Now made it quite a huge splash, gained him, you know, enough notoriety in the music scene. So much so that in the 90s, in 1990, Happy Mondays, they reworked the song into this new song called Step On, which, again, pummeled the pop charts. So he kind of received a resurgence. So John Congo's had a really good, healthy music career.
Cool. Yeah. Good job, John.
Thanks, John. Yeah. He's still alive today, 68 years old.
Wow, good for you.
He's doing well.
Yeah, 68, that's not too old.
Yeah, I don't think so. I mean, obviously then he was kind of a young man. He started in the 60s.
Yeah, man. You're basically like fresh out of high school kind of.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now, obviously this is the K episode, this isn't the J episode. So why are we talking about John Congos?
Well, I'm assuming there's a relation.
There is indeed a relation.
I'm gonna throw it out there. Possibly a biological relation.
you would be correct.
Okay.
In South Africa, he had.
Man, I don't know what it is, but just hearing that a guy's named Congos in South Africa kind of makes me happy. Like it sounds like it's like an African name.
It kind of does.
Yeah.
Even though it starts with a K.
Yeah. Not Congo, obviously. Like the country and the book and movie.
He had four sons. Well, I'll say he had at least four sons. I don't know exactly how many kids he had, but he had four sons, the four sons that we are concerned with, Johnny, Jesse, Dylan, and Daniel Congos. Together, they have formed the group that we're talking about today, Congo. So they grew up in South Africa, although I am seeing as well that they grew up in London a bit as well. That being said, apparently they tend to do most of their music career in Phoenix, Arizona. There are a few Greek guys, so if you look at them, you'll know, like, just look at pictures of them, you'll say, well, these aren't, like, the blonde hair, blue-eyed, South African type that I was expecting.
Yeah.
They're more, you know, they're more dark-haired and I was going to say rustic, but that's not the right word. Raggedy? No, that's
rugged?
Not rugged. Thank you. Raggedy.
Rugged.
Jesus.
Yeah, raggedy's
the hell am I
more...
saying? Yeah, they're going to listen to this, they're like, what
they're
is
like,
what
hey,
this?
Hey, calling us raggedy.
Rugged. Okay, they're Greek. They're basically Greek. So it's the Congo's name. You know, I have a sneaky suspicion that it's an not quite anglicized, but like a shortened version of a past name. Because mm-hmm. Greek names tend to be really long. But the Congo, like if you look at Congos, that kind of like Panago. I'm sorry, this sounds really dumb, but it does. I mean, and all our names have changed. Our last name, Ferguson, changed from the Gaelic name to a more anglicized name. It just happens. It's the adaptation. But anyways, needless to say, it is kind of funny, though, that Congos, it seems to have a sort of an African connotation to it. But
it's,
I mean,
Greek.
It's Greek, basically. But they released a self-titled album in 2007.
They did.
If you... This is why I want you to be careful with Wikipedia, because Wikipedia says two contradicting things here. So this is why research is utterly, utterly important.
Yes.
Research says that their 2011 album Lunatic is their debut album. Then when you go down to the discography, in that same article, it lists their 2007 album Congo.
Stop drinking the sauce, Wikipedia. I mean, seriously.
Wikipedia is only as good as the people who submit to it.
Yeah, that's true.
Now, that being said, I don't blame them that much because even when you go into Congo's site, there is an acknowledgement of their past album. But
a big push for Lunatic.
Yeah, you won't even see that much. Whereas like, going back to Depp, Depp.fm, he's got it all very plainly laid out. Here's the albums. Here's when they're released. Here's the track listings. Like,
and as I've said before, you know, even if you're not super proud of what you've released before, at least, like, have it, like, show people, like, hey, this is what I've done. And, you know, let people decide if they like it or not.
Sure.
You know? And my personal opinion is, I actually really dig their first album. I mean, I think that it's, It's very, it's kind of consistent. It's more consistent than I think Lunatic is.
Oh, really?
But not as, but the highlights of Lunatic are stronger.
Okay.
If that, yeah.
You know, I heard, I sampled their, actually a couple years ago, I sampled their first album on iTunes, but just double checking now, it's no longer available.
It's not on iTunes?
It's not on iTunes anymore.
Well, now that seems weird to me. Like, why would they have it on iTunes and then take it off?
I don't know. Unless I'm vastly misremembering, but I am almost certain that I sampled it on iTunes before.
I mean, okay, let's talk about then how we personally came to know Congos.
Doug and I were regularly writing for a website called sourgrapeswinery.com.
Yeah, we've made mention of it here before.
We have mentioned it, and the reason why is because it was a great, and still is a great avenue for amateur writers to basically hone their craft, to be able to review, to be able to share opinions, and do it in a semi-professional setting.
It didn't, the site didn't take off. I mean, it had moments where we were doing pretty well, getting good readership, but it's currently on hiatus.
It never was in a point where it was self-sustaining. It always required very active, I want to say marketing, but a very active push.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And so we had to push hard to publicize our stuff. And what it came down to was that our editor-in-chief who founded the site, Joel, he just didn't seem to have time for it anymore. And so we'd submit articles, and then they'd be posted weeks and weeks later. Mm. And it's, you know, to be fair, I can see where he's coming from in that it was a lot of work for him to be doing, and the payoff was not that much. So I kind of get where he's coming from in that regard.
Yeah,
but and also, like, he just wound up getting a really busy personal life, and his job was very consuming and stuff like that, so.
Mm-hmm. Anyways, in May of 2012, so a couple years ago, all of us in Sour Grapes had been contacted by Tokoloshe Records, which was an independent label founded by both Congos and John Congos himself, the father John Congos.
Okay.
They sent an email and they said, hey, look, we released this album in South Africa last year, but we're aiming for a worldwide release. We're hoping for people to review the album. Their first single, I'm Only Joking, that was their big one at that point. And they sent basically kind of like a little sample pack. And I took a listen and I said, whoa, I actually really like the sound of this. So I said to my editor-in-chief, I'm going to call dibs on this and I'm going to review this album.
Now, I'm trying to figure out why there's a connection between Congos and Charlene Kay.
There is?
I think so. So I think after I reviewed the Charlene Kay album...
Oh, is that how they found the site?
I think so. Now, I don't know exactly what the relation is, just because I haven't looked into it too much, but... I think that's where the Congos approached us, like through that.
Yeah, so I listened to it, and actually they wound up sending me the album for free, which, like, straight up, guys, thank you. That was a hell of a gift. I even felt a little guilty taking it because it's so good.
And through that link, that's where I was able to download the first album.
Yeah, I think at the time I only specified that album. Now, interestingly enough, the sample site... that they sent. It actually had "I'm Only Joking" as the first song because that was their lead-in single. It's a very aggressive song.
It is.
And having that first kind of, it's gave me an impression of the album that lends to a more aggressive sampling. But then when I listened to the album with the proper track order, "I'm Only Joking" is now near the end of the album and is kind of it changes kind of the perception of the song.
I never listened to it as the first track. Yeah.
What I want you to take away from this, though, folks, is that track order means a lot.
Yeah.
Track order can change the whole atmosphere and feeling of your album. Did it make me like the album any more or any less? No. I felt that it was, you know, I still enjoyed the album. I just feel that, though, that the more general impression I had changed once I heard the whole track listing, as it were. So I reviewed this album in very early June of 2012, and I sent the review back to them. I said, hey, guys, you know what? Good work. I really, really hope you have a lot of success because this is really good stuff.
Yeah.
And they liked my review quite a bit, actually. They posted on Facebook. They said, hey, check out this review. It was nice. It was a very good... we both patted each other on the back in that regard. It was nice to get a little bump in publicity. And now, within the past 6 months... all of a sudden, I'm hearing Come With Me Now everywhere.
Come With Me Now.
Yeah, it's the first track on the album, yeah. And it's their second single. But it's the one that's been picking up steam on... we have a radio station here in Vancouver called The Peak. They play a lot of alternative music, and they play it a lot.
I think I recognize that they were doing really well when they were an iTunes single of the week.
Mm.
Was that that song, or was it a different song?
I don't know.
Because I didn't download it because I already had their album. So yeah. I was like, oh, cool. But I was excited for them because I've seen some acts on iTunes Single of the Week that have become very big.
Yes.
The biggest that I've seen come out of that is Adele.
Yeah.
Chasing Pavement was one of the first iTunes Single of the Weeks I got. I was like, hey, this is really good. And a couple years later, she's one of the biggest acts on the planet.
Yeah.
So it's like, wow. So I don't expect necessarily that kind of success from these guys because not a lot of people get that kind of success.
She lucked out in part, and I do not hold this against her at all. In fact, more power to her. Just the climate, I think, honestly, she came about when kind of pop music was stagnating, which it does every once in a while. Pop music will stagnate a little. Nothing new sounding comes. So when you get something that is very accessible and sounds new and different, but at the same time is familiar, because she works on a lot of... say older jazz or older adult contemporary. There's a bit of
old style rhythm and blues in there.
Yeah. So there's something very familiar about it, but it's new, and she's also kind of counterculture too. I don't want to say hipster because that's not fair. She is kind of counterculture. She's an overweight woman who is singing aggressively about her feelings, and 9 times out of 10, when you have female pop stars, they're just singing the same old things over and over again. And they have that ultimate sex appeal thing. And here was someone who came in just at the right time with a counterculture look, with a new sound that was familiar enough for pop audiences to acknowledge. So,
and like legitimate songwriting talent and pipes to match.
And on top of that, a hell of an attitude. She's not a quiet woman, and she's very opinionated
and British.
Yeah,
man,
I like her a lot though. I like her a lot,
and well,
I
will never talk about Adele another day. Let's back up to Congos.
It's so easy to sidetrack.
But yeah, I mean, still. Now I noticed lately, there was a time period, circa 2007 through 2009-ish, where there's a lot of really solid iTunes singles.
Yeah.
Of the week, and then they start to kind of dip in quality lately. But Congos was definitely one of those ones where it's like, hey, there you go. This is one with a lot of promise and a lot of oomph. And so.
Yeah. Let's talk a bit about this album, Lunatic. In a way, I kind of feel a little bad for them because, I mean, this album must have been recorded 2010 through 2011, maybe just 2011. I mean, it sounds so polished. They must have spent a lot of time on it. And only now has it picked up huge mainstream appeal.
The thing is, like, that's kind of a stamp of quality.
Yeah.
I mean, if you think of, there's certain albums that sell because people know a band and they just kind of want to jump on, getting the album as fast as they can. But, for an independent act to kind of, have to slowly build up their reputation, it does kind of imply that there's something that is worth liking, and also it's worth buying as an album, because again, people can torrent, people can sample and off of iTunes and listen to it, and you can't, in the sort of music culture, you can't hide behind a name and then release a crappy album.
Yes.
So in this case, I mean, they're a no-name band who has a quality album. People hear it, they're like, okay, actually, I want to give this a regular rotation on my iPod.
Oh, I forgot to mention that their father, John Congos, produced the album.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
That's cool. I love how polished this album is. They managed to hit the right mark, I think, in terms of production. Just the right mark. It sounds so honest and so earnest, and it has so much energy, but by the same token, there was very careful thought put into what instruments we're going to bring in now, what sounds we're going to incorporate in, the balance between the vocals and the sound. Oh, maybe we're going to add a little bit of an echo distortion to one voice or whatever. There was a lot of thought put into this album.
But also, I think another thing to consider is sort of like there's a sound that they have. That there's certain instruments and stuff that they... Not only there's sort of like an accordion instrument, right?
Yep.
But it's not even that, but there's this sort of like... energy about it. Okay, I get what I'm trying to say is you can kind of hear their own, like, their history through their music.
Yes.
In that there's that sort of European sounding, like, accordion. It just sounds like kind of like Venice to me. That's like, I hear it and I'm like, oh, this is like Venice. Just that's where my mind goes. But it's mixed in with what sounds like very tribal percussion. So you can kind of hear the African influence in their sound as well. So it's like a mix of European, African. They're from Greece, or they're Greek. Were they born in South Africa?
I'm not sure where they were born. I believe they were born in South Africa.
The point is, like, Greek roots.
Correct me if I'm wrong.
Greek roots, African roots, and you can hear that meshed into, like, a very unique sounding rock band.
You know, interestingly enough as well, I also hear a bit of, and I don't know where this comes from, but kind of maritime, you know, like Eastern Seaboard of music that you, like a Maine cod fisherman, you know, would compose, especially with Come With Me Now, you know, that Maine hook, it does remind me of a maritime sort of feel. Yeah, but, you know, by the same token as well, there are aspects of, in some songs like I Want to Know, where I get kind of like a sort of a California vibe off of it.
Oh, yeah, I can hear that. Yeah, you know? Of like a... from that one, I hear kind of a sunny road trip kind of energy.
Maybe like on the road, you know, sort of with Jack Kerouac. And then conversely, this was something I noted in my original view as well. Remember, they were raised in part in London. It's a Good Life sounds a lot like Instant Karma by John Lennon. Not enough. I don't want to say that it's a ripoff, because it's not. It has a very different energy. It has a very different life. But there seems to be enough inspiration for not only the music, but the subject matter of the song to seem like a logical follow-up from Instant Karma. And look, actually, you know what? Here, I wanted to play right now a little bit of Instant Karma and a little bit of It's a Good Life. And then you can tell me if I'm sort of crazy. Like,
could be crazy.
Write in and say, Steve, what are you talking about? But let's just listen to those.
Lay off the sauce, Steve.
Lay off the sauce. Just let's listen to it for 2 seconds here. Instant Karma's gonna get you. Gonna knock you right on the head. You better get yourself together. Some days you wanna just chuck it all. Try your luck and hit the streets. It's like your shoes are tied together. Each hand got a string attached. Some days you wanna just say fuck it. Maybe you just light a match.
I don't think that you are on the sauce, actually. I think that, I can definitely hear some connections. Like, again, yeah, it's one of those cases where it isn't a ripoff in any way, but it's just like, yeah, it does have a similar energy, kind of a similar vibe and percussion flow. I don't know how else to put it, but yeah, I can hear it.
Yeah, and that by no means is a stained criticism or a mark off, because, I mean, there does need to be some acknowledgement of, you know, here's our roots in music, but here are the ideas that we are putting in.
And also, like, with John Lennon and the Beatles,
yeah,
it's like, you're hard-pressed to find any modern act that hasn't been influenced by the Beatles.
Yes, no,
like,
very true.
That's just all the facts of life at this point in time. It's like, the Beatles changed music in the 60s.
Yeah.
And that's the way it was.
I want to mention how, and I'll go into this a little more in the track recommendations. I think I Want to Know is an absolutely amazing and fantastic song. And listening to it, you can instantly kind of encapsulate a feeling of, it's kind of hard to put your finger on, but it's a feeling of earnestly looking and earnestly searching, but you could actually have that song with no lyrics, and I think still convey that feeling. It's a brilliantly constructed song, and there are other brilliantly constructed songs on there too. Sex on the Radio, I think, as well, is immensely and insanely brilliantly constructed, and that's again more kind of what I kind of want to advertise about this album, is that this was a very delicately put together and a very interestingly put together album, and it is so cool to hear, and I'm so glad that they're really starting to take off. I don't think they're going to be like Rolling Stones or anything, but
no, but you know, but what the thing is, recognition. Like, but you know, I could see them at least, like, I could see them reaching Kings of Leon kind of success.
Sure, yeah, absolutely.
In fact, I can even see a little bit of, like, attitude and sound-wise, a little bit of the similarities between the two bands. Personally, though, I prefer Congos. I mean, I don't dislike Kings of Leon, yeah. But I don't love them, but a lot of people do. But anyways, there you go. So if you're into Kings of Leon, mm-hmm. give Congos a try, because there's a similar kind of vibe. Only yeah. this is kind of... I find them, the Congos, a little more playful.
Yeah, you know? Actually, yeah, I will absolutely agree with that.
And I think I like that playfulness about their music, is that it's there's still an aggression, there's still some testosterone, there's still... it's still rock.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't seem like it's taking itself super seriously. Just, like, seriously enough.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Is there anything else that you want to mention in particular about Lunatic?
Yeah, I think that it's you know, it's interesting about their two albums.
Yeah,
is that my first impression was for both of them was different than my second impression, but in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
I remember listening to their first album, which is just self-titled Congos, and not being overly impressed.
Yeah,
and then listening to Lunatic and being very impressed, like pretty much the whole way through. And then I listened to Congos again and actually found myself really enjoying it, giving it that second run through and connecting a lot with the material. And then listening to Lunatic, and it starts off with some initial disappointment, because I think there's a slightly weaker first few tracks.
Yeah.
But then it gets really, really solid. I mean, who knows, like, the next time I listen to it, like, what I'll think. It kind of varies from time to time. So, I mean, maybe it just depends on what mood I'm in, mm-hmm. which songs I connect to. But I, at the same time, I don't think there's a song in either of their albums that I think is horrible.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm even kind of reconsidering the saying that the beginning of Lunatic is weak, because I don't think it is. It's just sort of, at the point in time I was listening to it, it just wasn't working the same way it did the first time. I don't know.
I'm going to actually take a counter opinion. I think the first half of the album is stronger than the second half, to be honest.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm also going to say that it's not like I think any of it's particularly weak. It's just that I really enjoy the first half of the album, and that's not even 100% true, because it's A Good Life and I'm Only Joking. But
it's tricky.
Does,
so
it does slow
I mean,
down a little.
I think it does kind of depend on like how you're feeling at the time. But you know what I do like?
Yeah.
This is just one of those little things that I don't know if it was intentional or not, but I like how there's a song called I Wanna Know, and then the track right after that is Hey, I Don't Know.
It must be intentional in some way.
Yeah,
it must be.
I don't mean, I, apart from that, I don't know if there's any sort of connection between the two songs. But.
So it's worth knowing
yeah.
that they are, I don't believe
we,
this.
I know, actually, I looked at this up a couple days ago. We just missed their show in Vancouver. We just did, like, a few days ago.
No way. Wow.
And I didn't even know they're coming. So, sorry, guys. We would have loved to see you.
Yeah.
Geez, then again, you know, I mean, it looks like 2014 is going to be really busy.
Yeah, 2014's... we'll get into that in a second.
Yeah, sure.
I like this, though. I mean, we were just talking about this, but starting in Toronto, then going out to Connecticut and Massachusetts and New York. Look, they're on the Kings of Leon tour.
No, this I did not. Yeah, they are opening for
a little earlier too. Yeah,
they're opening for Kings of Leon. So clearly somebody recognized that there's a similar kind of spirit to their music.
Oh, thank God! I was worried we were just talking out of our asses,
yeah, as we usually do. But
You know what? I'm curious. No, it looks like mostly Eastern Seaboard at this part. I'm just curious if they're gonna pop around to like Seattle, or maybe if we've just missed it entirely.
I mean, usually a band either just Seattle right before or right after Vancouver, just because it's a quick drive.
Yeah.
So, sadly, we'll have to catch Congos next time.
Although, hey guys, enjoy Paris.
Oh, cool! You guys are going. You guys are going. They're touring with One Republic. That's an interesting choice.
It is Barcelona, Lisbon. Ah, that's gorgeous.
Yeah, you guys are gonna enjoy touring the world. That looks like a lot of fun.
Did we?
So I mean, this is great.
God, they were in Victoria, Vancouver, and Kelowna. There were three opportunities for us to see them.
Literally.
Oh God, no.
We're recording this on the 16th of July.
Yeah.
They were 11th, 12th, and 13th.
They were at the Imperial too.
Yeah.
Down on Main Street. Ah.
So that sucks.
Hey, actually, I'm not seeing them in Seattle at all. Did I miss that? Oh no, there they are on the 4th of June.
Okay, yeah. So,
well, geez, hold on. I just want to say, Congos, you guys have been bloody busy. Look at this freaking tour lineup. Have you guys been constantly look? And you, they were here
actually.
Again. They were at the Railway Club in Vancouver on September 17th, 2012. Have you guys been home?
Yeah, do you guys have a home? Or is the bus your home, basically?
Holy crap, I'm literally going back. Jesus, wow.
I mean, you know, this is one of those things that makes me think that they're really going to go places as well. Because look at if they're touring with One Republic and, like, Kings of Leon,
mm-hmm.
I mean, that means that there's going to be a lot of people who are interested in their kind of music hearing their stuff. And just like Steve and I saw Kings of Leon... Open for you too.
Yeah. Do you remember GM Place when Kings of Leon took the stage before you two? Most of the stadium was empty.
Yeah, people were still pouring in real slowly.
Yeah, people were taking their time around the lobby while Kings of Leon were playing. And then when I saw Kings of Leon again as the headliner a few years later, then it was the entire opposite for them. It's like their opening band, almost no one was in, and then once they were there, every seat was packed.
Yeah.
I think it's some sort of strange prejudice against opening bands.
I mean, to be fair, I've seen a few stinking opening bands.
No, fair enough.
But to be fair, as a counterpoint, I've seen some pretty awesome opening bands.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's times where the opening band is going like, I've gone like, I want their album right now. So I'll buy it.
I'm going to apologize, Congos, because especially if you're playing at the Imperial, which isn't going to be like $300 tickets or anything.
No.
I feel like I should have made... the effort to come and see you. So I apologize. Hell, maybe you might have even remembered me. I don't know.
Hey, you're the guy from Sour Grapes Wine. Hey, man. We really appreciated your review.
Hey, man. I don't know what accent that is.
I wasn't even trying for an accent. I don't know why I chose that voice to represent them. But I did. And now I have to live with that. come back to Vancouver, guys.
Apparently you will eventually.
Keep tabs on you.
I promise I'll try.
We dropped the ball this time around. Because I love it when we talk about acts that we've seen live, just because it gives us a new perspective on their music and stuff. But yeah, we failed.
Why didn't Bands in Town, my app, notify me of that?
You know, jeez. That's a good point. Is that like, yeah, why did we not find out? I feel like the internet has let us
I have an app called Bands in Town. You basically select your city, you specify how far you're willing to travel for a concert, and then you start selecting acts that you like, and it tells you, and it also makes recommendations for similar sorts of bands. But you can control all that. You can go from only the artists I specifically want to see to the artists I want to see and perhaps ones that are similar.
Well, put Congos on there right now because...
Freaking hell.
Because I want to know. I want to know.
They're not on here. I feel terrible about that.
They're coming back to town.
I'm adding you guys right now, Congos, to my Bands in Town app. Hey, Bands in Town, want to sponsor us? No. So, yeah, let's move on to some track recommendations, sir.
I can do three, I think.
Three? Okay, I was only going to do two.
Okay. Go for it. From their first album, I was originally going to go with a different one, but I think because it's just playing in my head over and over again.
Yeah.
The song Nothing, which is...
Nothing.
It's the second track, and there's this sort of, like, very cool, kind of darkish vibe, I don't know how to explain it. But there's this vocal part where there's sort of this chanting. I don't know how to describe it exactly, but it's got a very, it's very emotional. It's very, very good though. I highly recommend it.
Okay.
And from Lunatic,
mm-hmm.
You know, I think Hey, I Don't Know. I'm a big fan of that one. really, I can't remember how it goes off the top of my head right now, but I haven't.
Well, can't you hear it's playing in the background?
I can, clearly. So, but I remember when I was listening to the album last, I marked off which ones I wanted to recommend, so I gave that one a full 5.
Do you remember why you wanted to recommend it? Or is it just because you thought it was awesome?
I mean, the simple answer is that I thought it was awesome. Essentially, it's just got a really, really nice kind of bouncy energy to it, and very easy to kind of bob your head to and move out.
Clap your hands.
Yeah, so
that's right.
I dig that one. And one more. Okay. So I'm also, and the last one I'm going to recommend is Escape, which is it's got kind of a, again, kind of a, like a kind of a tribal kind of sounding rhythm section, but there's this sort of, there's this nice kind of acoustic-y thing. So it's kind of a mix between like really kind of gentle sounds and aggressive sounds, and which I think they're generally speaking very good at making.
I also think that these guys, honestly, with their voices, they sound bloody pitch perfect sometimes, you know? Like, I mean, they know exactly what notes to hit with their voices, and they just do it so well every time.
Yeah. So what are your track recommendations?
I only have two. I mean, again, I like their album. Lord knows I listened to Lunatic start to finish a million times when I was writing the review. When I'm doing writing reviews for Sour Grapes, I have that album on, whatever album I listen to, on repeat all the time. But the two that I will say I adore by these guys. First one is Sex on the Radio. It goes through several very interesting moments, like the bridge, and the chorus and the verses could be from different songs almost, you know, but they work so well together, and the production value is so good on this song, and it's an exciting song, but it's sad, and there's so many. I'm glad they put it as the second track because it demonstrates their prowess as musicians. It's so good. I love Sex on the Radio because they're playing sex on the radio.
Yet, according to Sister Sisters, you can't see tits on the radio.
That's true. Mm-hmm. The other one I love is I Want to Know, which I have mentioned before.
Yeah. I was actually going to recommend that one, but I knew Steve was going to, so I decided not to. So
thanks,
that highlights how good I Want to Know
is. Coincidentally, I knew that, or I said to myself, if Doug's going to recommend any of these two songs that I want to recommend, I'll do Escape, because Escape is a good song.
Well, there you go.
There's my runner-up.
So there you go.
I already touched on briefly why I love I Want to Know so much, but just listen to it, and you will feel like you have to sing along during that during that pre-chorus when he's just vocalizing, he's just saying and it sounds silly, but I mean he's just prior to the chorus, you know, and you feel like you're either sitting on the beach and you're watching, let's say, the Oregon coast, and you're watching like the waves crest over the dunes and stuff like that. And you're sitting there on the sand with your legs up to your chin, and you're not wearing a shirt, and you're wearing big sunglasses, and you're totally mellowing out. Or conversely, you're sitting in the back of a convertible, and you're watching as like the landscape, you know, moves beside you at speeds, but you're wearing these headphones, and all you can hear is the music. This is the song that you would be hearing. So good. I enjoyed it.
Yep. Yeah. So I'm feeling pretty good about that. Again, Congos, sorry for missing your shows.
Yeah, I feel bad.
Yeah, no, we dropped the ball.
I hope you get an opportunity to listen to this, to listen to our protracted apology.
next time you come, Steve's got it on his phone now, so it better tell him where if you're coming.
It's probably going to be a couple of years, I would think.
Well, I mean, you guys seem pretty busy. Like, you're traveling around the world. No use... You can't focus on us specifically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I do want to take advantage of the opportunity to say, what do you guys think of Congos? Like, have you had the chance to listen to them or to check them out? I hope so. Certainly around here, I've been hearing enough of them on the radio. So I'm hoping that you heard the single Come With Me Now, went and investigated the album. And if you have done so, tell us what you thought. You can write a little review. I have no problems reading that out. over on the podcast or whatever and giving feedback. Lord knows we love feedback, and there are so many ways of giving us feedback. There is our email address, admin@nshgfilms.com. That's admin, A-D-M-I-N, at nshgfilms.com. And I check that all the time. There is our website, musicA-to-Z podcast.com. Feel free to like just write a little comment in underneath the post and say, hey, here's what I think. I certainly get enough spam. I would love for some more legitimate comments, too. There is our Twitter, @musicAzpodcast. Yeah, search us up. Write us a little note. Give us a recommendation through Twitter. Or find us on Facebook, Music A to Z Podcast on Facebook, where we try to update people.
Fully interneted.
We are the interneted. Yeah. Anything else, Captain?
No, I think that it's going to be grand. I think it's...
Well, hold on. We're on K. You know what this means. It's two more episodes. Then we're on M.
Oof. This is gonna be a hard choice. we got L figured out, but yeah, M. We got a lot of candidates.
Dear listeners, if there is an M band that you think it would be a crime for us to at least not consider, write us in, and we will either do it or tell you why we couldn't do it. We will acknowledge it.
Definitely. Maybe your recommendation will tip the scale.
It might.
Or it might be like, maybe make the choice even harder. It's like, oh, great.
Well, I mean, let's look at it this way. I mean, if we have, like, say, six people write in and say, you guys should totally do Moby, I think that would decide it for me right then and there.
Yeah.
Well, anyways, let's close on up. I'm going to say Music A to Z Podcast is hosted by Steven and Doug Ferguson and is produced by me, Steven Ferguson. You should check out our other works at nshgfilms.com, dougjcferguson.com, and stephengcferguson.ca.